Do you have an adult child who is breaking your heart because of a sinful lifestyle? Here's pastor's wife, Holly Eliff, with some advice.
I think sometimes the Lord would love for us to ask for big things and then trust Him to move in ways that we can't even anticipate.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, July 8th. Today we begin a new series called Flourishing in the Empty Nest. Nancy's here to introduce our guests.
Well, I'm so thankful to have some of my friends here today, some of your friends. You've heard them on Revive Our Hearts at different times. And I don't think the four of us have ever been together to do some recording and to have this, what we call table talk. But we were all going to be in town, and I said, could we just have some time to talk about... I didn't know what to call this. I don't know if they'd call it middle life, aging.
Every title Nancy came up with,
Holly doesn't like,
was depressing to me.
So shall we call it youth?
You can say youth extended.
That's a dream.
Or just aging with grace.
I mean, aging,
you know,
with
it
grace.
Is what it is.
I like that. And Holly knows that I always have wanted to be old. So
Nancy and I are polar opposites, by the way. Yeah.
She keeps trying to slow me down on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want you to meet my friends. On my left is Kim Wagner, and she's just written a book, a terrific book on marriage called, not just marriage, but for women, called Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior. And every married woman needs to read that book. Most women need to read that book. Really very practical handles. And Kim and I go back to even before the beginning of Revive Our Hearts Radio. And these are women who've been friends and prayer partners. And I'm going to stop saying nice things about them because there are a lot of things I could say. But on my right is Holly, who I've known longer than any of these women. We go back to my...
1985.
You still have three children at home. And grandchildren, and
going on seven grandchildren now.
So you've got lots of different seasons going there. We're going to talk about seasons. That's a good thing to
seasons
be thinking
is
about
good.
Here.
I like that.
And some of the different seasons that we're in as women right now. And then Rebecca Lutzer, and Rebecca and Erwin have been dear friends. And actually, Rebecca's
time.
A part of a group of women who meet in the Chicago area regularly to pray for me and for Revive Our Hearts. We call them the Chicago Praying Ladies, and they have been really dear, sweet friends. And your husband pastors actually, all your husbands are pastors, but some of you hear Dr. Erwin Lutzer on the radio program Running to Win, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the pastor at Moody Church mm-hmm. for many years. And your children are all grown and...
All married, and I have eight grandchildren, mm-hmm. so...
And Kim, your children are grown and yes. expecting a third grandchild
yes.
shortly.
I'm very excited.
So having my empty nest and near empty nest friends here, we want to just talk about some of the issues related to this season of life, how to think about those. And let me start with the blessings. As your children are getting older, you're getting into grandmother season of life, what are some of the things you're really enjoying about this season?
Nobody that's permanently in my house is being potty trained. I'm enjoying that, not having that season in
my life.
You
had a lot of years of that, didn't you?
A lot of years. When you have eight kids, that's a lot of years of potty training. So it's fun to watch my daughters now potty training their children and thinking, I don't have to do that anymore.
Well, I am just loving hanging out with my adult children and now their children. I love it. And it is so fun to watch. Actually, watching my daughter, it's like I am seeing me in her. She'll say, Mom, I do these parenting things that it just seems to come natural. And then all of a sudden I hear you in my head saying these things that I'm saying. And that is just a blessing to me. To watch that and to see. And now I get to invest in these little ones, and it's just fun. I love it.
I love going to my daughter's homes. I just have daughters, don't have any sons. And I think daughters are a little different. They expect you to do things. They want you to be there, and they want you to help. They ask you in subtle ways, but you know that they really want you to kind of come in and take over and do the dishes and say, well, honey, why don't you just sit down and rest a little bit? Because they are. I just marvel at how my daughters have just taken, it seems natural to care for their children and to cook and do all those things. And I just praise the Lord because I don't know how it all transpired. I mean, I was there, but, you know, it's God's grace just covers mm-hmm. your mistakes. Yeah. And you watch your children. And I've had to learn how to keep my mouth shut
mm-hmm.
and let them be autonomous and do things the way they like and their husbands like. And that was a little bit of a hard lesson for me to learn.
Well, and it's interesting you say definitely that is hard because you're used to when they were younger, you were able to tell them, you were able to sit them in that chair and say, don't move, you know, when they were little bitty. And now they are making life choices for your grandchildren. And those may be different than what you would have made.
Yes, I've struggled with that, too.
Yeah. But what has been good for me is to be able to affirm my daughter in the things mm-hmm. that I'm seeing that she's doing even better than I did
yes.
a lot of times. So when I'm affirming that, sometimes she'll say, well, Mom, I don't know how to handle this. Mm. And I'm thankful for mm-hmm. that. Now, not always, because there's choices that they're going to make, and they'll learn just like we learned from our mistakes, and that's
yes.
hard.
Yes.
But again, we're trusting God's grace
that's
and that
right.
He's bigger than we are to be able to take care of that.
It's also an interesting place to be as a mother and a mother-in-law to watch your adult children relate to each other and work through their issues and their problems and to keep your mouth shut. Well, like you said, we teach the children, we teach our daughters how to do things, and we want them to do them the right way, of course. And then they get into their homes, and they're influenced by their husbands, and there are things that they want to do. And so God's really had to teach me about keeping my mouth shut.
So how do you know when to speak up about something and when to be quiet?
My degree is in speech pathology, so we taught our kids, you know, some people teach their toddlers sign language.
Mm-hmm.
We taught our kids to talk, which now
they've learned really well.
In hindsight, we regret just a tad. At Christmas, we were all snowed in together because the power was off in the houses that lived near us. And then all of our other kids were there for Christmas. We ended up with 21 of us in our house for about 8 days, and the dogs. And it was hysterical, but it was never, ever quiet. And so we were real fans of teaching our kids to talk things out.
Mm-hmm.
So we never let our kids go in their room and shut their door and pout. We would follow them. And so when you have that many people who all believe in talking things out, you have a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
just about a week ago, I was with my daughter and her husband as they were house hunting. And finally, at one point, after a really stressful day, Reagan, my son-in-law, turned around and said to me, Mom, what do you think? And it was just so fun to be able to, knowing both their hearts, to be able to encourage them toward Christ and encourage them to run to the Lord even in their stress and their tension of having 2 days to find a house in a strange city, but to be given the freedom to speak still into their life and to have the kind of relationship where that would be received. Now, there are moments when the Lord just has to give discernment about when to speak and when not to speak.
So do you wait for them to ask for counsel?
I don't always wait for them to ask for. I know all the books say don't talk, but because of the culture of our family where we have always talked about things, there's a little more freedom. So it's not that I necessarily give my opinion about what they ought to do, but I do believe there should always be the freedom to share biblical truth in a winsome way or a loving way, a kind way, not preaching, but just sharing your heart a little bit. And too, I think, you know, the Lord is wise enough to tell us when to be quiet.
There's creative ways to do that, because I typically, my rule is I wait to be invited to speak truth into their life, typically, which sometimes they frequently do, sometimes not. But what I found to be creative is I can a lot of times share about another couple that we're discipling or another couple in our church and truth that I shared with them, you know, that not private issues, but just general truths that I'm hoping they're hearing and picking up on, you know, situations. Because I think we do need to respect that they are now adults and they need to be grappling with these issues themselves and not just depending on mom to tell me what I need to do.
And I'm thinking, Rebecca, you've got daughters. I know, Holly, you have some of both. And
we have both.
Kim, you have one. But there's a sense in which they need to be shaping their own families with their husbands and letting him provide leadership without feeling that...
That's right.
Mom is still controlling
Right.
There were times I would just say what I was thinking to kind of help the situation or to help, you know, the daughters or whatever, or with the grandchildren. And now, I've noticed just in this last year that I just have a sort of a weight in my heart and my mind. It's the Holy Spirit that holds me back. And I actually think about what I would like to say. And just say, no, I don't need to say that. And just let the Lord, let them, like you said, ask for counsel or advice. And I think it works better that way. So
I know a lot of women who have young adult children are dealing with situations where their children are estranged, where there isn't a healthy relationship, where the children are not walking with the Lord. And none of you are facing that at the moment, but you have friends who do. Help some of those women think through, what can your role be in the lives of young adult children who are making choices that are not just different than yours, but that you know are really dangerous and wrong?
Well, and my daughter wouldn't mind me saying, because I've asked her before, there was a period in her adult life where we were estranged. And, you know, there were things definitely that I didn't agree with and that were so wrong, and that in a way you would want to come across harshly. But what I found that I needed to demonstrate at that time, love, and that we could be a safe place for her to return to.
Definitely.
One time I just got my Bible out, started in the New Testament, and just recorded every interaction that Christ had with other people, with his disciples, and the way that he related to them in every different circumstance. And it was so refreshing, because you always see truth, but it is always so wrapped in love and forgiveness and encouragement.
And humility.
And and it just is such a good model for us as we relate to those who will hear what Christ has to say and those who are not ready to hear it yet. And Christ encountered a lot of people who weren't ready to hear it. But you have to believe that at some moment those words... came back.
And that the Holy Spirit is able to work through you being obedient to be Christ-like in your demonstration of love to your child, who is ripping your heart out, maybe. But to offer love, humility, grace, and truth as you can.
Well, that's it. Sometimes you cannot say anything, and you shouldn't. And you just tell that child, I love you, and I am praying for you. And that's sometimes the best thing for them to hear.
Rebecca, I know you have such a heart for prayer. Talk about the role of a praying mother with young adult children.
Well, I don't think there's any formula to say, like, you have to pray for your children and your grandchildren every day. But it's a wonderful thing to do that. I think it's a privilege. And we think of all the stresses that these young people have in raising families today and the challenges that they're facing and all the media stuff that these little kids are growing up with and being forced on them in many ways, even in schools. And, you know, when I can't be there and I can't encourage or, you know, be with my daughters and my grandchildren, I can say to them, and I hope I don't get weepy here, but I have gotten down on my knees beside the bed of my grandchildren, and even my oldest one, who's 13, a boy, and I just said, Jack, someday I might not be here, but I want you to know that I have always prayed for you as long as I've been alive, and that my prayers will always be with you. And here's this great big guy lying there in his bed, and I'm thinking, well, you know, how much does that really mean to him? But he thanks me.
Yeah.
I just say, thank you, Grandma.
Yeah. And Rebecca, something I'm doing is I'm writing my prayers for them, for my grandchildren,
That's
in my
beautiful.
Journal. And so my daughter, my son, I'm already praying for my son's daughter, who's not here yet, but they know I'm writing these in my journal, and I'm saving them for them. And this past weekend, my daughter lives 9 hours away, so we don't get to be with those grandchildren as much, but I had my little grandson, who is 5 months old, and rocking him. And this is how I've done with the granddaughter as well. But when I'm with them, rocking them, just to be praying over them, praying Ephesians 1 over him as I'm rocking him. And then with my little granddaughter, who's 2 now, I mean, just freely, continually talking to her about Jesus and his love for her, and her relating back to me what I've been teaching her. And I'm just loving it. I love it.
A wonderful thing about praying for our children and our grandchildren is that there are no restrictions there.
Right. Right.
We cannot pray too much. We can pray anywhere. My life tends to be crazy, a little busy. And so if you still have a very busy life, prayer is something that can happen wherever you are. I can pray for my grandchildren that are 17 hours away right now. Even though I can't be with them all the time, I can carry them in prayer. One thing we've done that helps is that we have a family thread on Facebook. So all of our family members are on this thread, but no one else can see it. And so my kids will go on there and post, you know, please pray for me at 2 o'clock. I have this coming up, or I'm meeting with this person who doesn't know Christ, or, you know, the kids are really sick. Please pray about this. And so it's like a little constant prayer alert, and that's a big blessing. And our kids love that because they're more aware how to pray for each other, as we have kids in several states now. But I love that. I mean, you were asking a minute ago, Nancy, about blessings. You know, what are the blessings? And one of the blessings is just the freedom to pray anywhere, anytime.
Right.
And to know that what that does is bring God into the picture.
Right.
Wherever they are, whatever the circumstance, the moment we enter into prayer, we introduce God into that picture. And that's a huge blessing.
And I think that's particularly significant for a lot of our listeners that I know are, let me give you an example. A friend shared with me recently that he and his wife have been asked by their grown children not to come and visit anymore, and the children do not want them to have any contact with the grandchildren. Now, this goes back a long way. It didn't happen overnight. There have been issues. But this is my friends, the older couple, have tried to be available to invest in their children. And I'm sure everybody has their side of the story. But it's a broken relationship. And my friend was telling me how heartbroken his wife is. They're both friends of mine. And but he was here visiting our ministry. And he said she's devastated by this as a mom, as a grandmom. So speak to the, and I know none of you are in that situation at the moment, but you know people who are. How do you encourage that woman who says, it's a busted relationship. I have no ability to really influence or to have relationship with my children and grandchildren. How can they be encouraged?
You know, they may not have the freedom to go there and visit, and the parents may not receive this, but they can send gifts, birthday gifts, cards, just pour out love on them. They may reject it, not open it, but, you know, just to continue to pour out what contact you can have, and respect their wishes not to come. If they can't call, I don't know if they can communicate that way, but you can always mail cards, gifts, you know, nothing that would be in any way condemning, but just reaching out to bless those who curse you.
It is heartbreaking. I was talking with a gal in our church about a week ago whose son and his wife divorced, and now the son is their son, and now the daughter-in-law does not want them to have any contact with the grandchildren, and it's heart-wrenching. It is heart-wrenching for them. But this gal is a sweet, godly woman, and she said, Holly, the thing is, it's like the Lord delivers telegraphic messages to me. You know, we don't have a telegraph anymore, but he lets me know how to pray for those grandchildren, and I don't know when I'll see them again, but nothing can stop me from praying for them. And, you know, that takes courage to keep doing that when you don't have the benefits of getting to be with them. It takes a lot of courage.
Well, and not just to pray for these grandchildren whom you're missing so much of their lives, but to pray for their parents and to pray powerful scripture for the parents that God will move their hearts and change them and break down whatever evil is holding them back from being from doing what they're doing, to withhold the grandchildren and withhold themselves from their parents.
And it's so important, I think, in every season of life to keep the perspective that this is not final.
Right. Yeah.
That God is still writing a story, that it's not the end, and that God has plans. He's working. And if you just get stuck in what it looks like right now, you can want to just go to bed and cover your head with the blanket and not come out, you know. But if you'll say, God, you are at work here, and be praying that God will be at work, and to have hope that God really can change this situation, then I think you'll be able to pray with more faith and anticipation of of what God is going to do.
It's like Henry Blackaby says, that God is working even though we don't see anything. He is working all the time.
I think that's in the Bible, too.
I'm sure it is.
He got that from a good book.
Probably why he said it.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes our prayers are too small. You know, we don't ask for big things from the Lord sometimes. And I think sometimes the Lord would love for us to ask for big things and then trust Him to move in ways that we can't even anticipate.
Well, these parents can also pray that God will show them if there is anything that they have said or done that have contributed to this situation of the grandparents not being able to see their grandchildren or their children, and that God would show them how they can reach into their lives, if it's a letter of apology or something that they themselves can do to change the situation. They should do it.
Pathway of humility.
Right, yes.
That's Rebecca Lutzer talking with the host of Revive Our Hearts, Nancy Lee DeMoss, and her friends Kim Wagner and Holly Eliff. They've been casting a vision for the exciting opportunities God may want to provide you in later seasons of life. We'll continue listening to this conversation over the next few days, and we'd like to send you a copy on CD when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. We found that donations typically drop in the summer months, so your support really does mean a lot to us. Just ask for the series Flourishing in the Empty Nest when you call with your donation of any amount. The number is 1-800-569-5959. Or just visit reviveourhearts.com. Maybe you know someone who's struggling while entering the empty nest season. You could order a copy for them as well. Again, the number is 1-800-569-5959. Well, tomorrow, Kim Wagner will show you why the empty nest season can be so exciting.
These days are such an adventure to be able to be fruitful for the Lord. I'm so content, whatever He has, to be fruitful. And that's what we desire to do to our very last breath.
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.